Well, if you would open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Today is Sunday, February the 11th, 2024. We're going to begin in Ephesians, chapter 1. Have any of you ever received an acceptance letter? You know, sometimes people apply to a certain college and then they get informed that they've been accepted. Or you can put an application in for a job, you know, fill out all the stuff, and then you end up getting the job. You've been accepted to be employed there. Or sometimes there are legal documents that we sign, and our signature indicates that we are accepting the details of whatever we've signed. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us accepted. We understand the English word accepted means regarded favorably or given acceptance. The Greek word here means highly favored. It's actually the same Greek word that's in the Gospel of Luke when the angel Gabriel was talking to Mary and told her that she was highly favored. As born again ones, we are highly favored, it says, in the beloved, or in the beloved one, in Christ, in Jesus Christ. We're not highly favored in our own accomplishments, but it's in the beloved one. In Christ, in what he accomplished for us. In God's eyes, we are accepted. And this morning, I wanted to focus on a very important aspect of us being accepted. True Christianity is revolutionary. It's very radical compared to other religions or other spiritual ideologies. In religion, acceptance comes at the end on the basis of an assessment of a person's works. In other words, acceptance is based on the works that you do. That's religion, and therefore Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God where acceptance comes at the beginning. At the very, very beginning. Acceptance by God at the very beginning, at the very start, is not based on any works that we do. And that's radical when you're thinking in terms of spiritual religions or whatever. At the beginning. And there are many people who reject Christianity because they don't hear this message of God's grace. And as a result, they don't realize that Christianity is not a merit-based religion. God's word says that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we receive everlasting life from believing. The Bible says that eternal life is a gift. It's a gift of God's grace and not something that we can earn by our own works. Salvation is a gift by God's grace, not of any works. We're in Ephesians 1. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2, not too far away. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is before we got born again. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. that quickened means made alive, and we were made alive because we got his spirit in us, and that spirit life hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, through believing. That's twice he said it there, didn't he? By grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man or any woman should boast. Not of any works. We're saved by grace, not of works. And as you are more than likely aware, Romans chapter 10 says that if you confess or acknowledge, confirm, agree, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he's Lord of all people, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, God's word says you shall be saved. That's amazing, isn't it? It doesn't say anything about works when you read that in Romans 10. It doesn't say if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, and then do a whole bunch of good things, that it doesn't say anything about that. And we just read in Ephesians, we're not saved by works. Salvation's a gift. Isn't this awesome? We don't work to obtain it. That's how we start out. Here you go. At the moment of the new birth, we are accepted by God, highly favored by God, at that moment. And at that moment, we receive eternal life. We're saved. And we are also delivered from the judgments that will come. And that's so radical that we get it right at the beginning. Accepted by God comes at the very beginning. And you see, that's why we live our lives following God's word, not to earn his love and acceptance, but because we already have it. Isn't that amazing? Go to Acts chapter 16, if you would. You may remember we're going to Acts 16, but you may remember in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and he preached that, if you read his sermon, it was basically Jesus Christ is Lord, and God raised him from the dead. And at the end of that, the people said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, which means to change your mind. They needed to change their mind about who they thought Jesus Christ was, because they were part of the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, well, you need to get your act together. Some of you need to stop cussing so much. You need to come to temple every day at prayer time. You need to. No, he just said, believe. Same thing here in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in prison. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 is, these guys are in the stocks, right? They've been beaten. They're chained up. Verse 25 of Acts 16, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Who are these guys? You know, they'd just gotten beaten. They're shackled. And they're praying and singing. Amazing. Anyway. And suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Woohoo! And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. It was a death sentence if you lost prisoners. So he knew he was a dead man. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, they said, Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and thy house. What must I do? Believe. Religion, on the other hand, says, here's the list. This is what you must do. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, and maybe you might be someday accepted and loved by God. The doing has already been done by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that accomplished our salvation and redemption. He did all the work necessary so we could be accepted, so we could be saved, so we could have eternal life, so we could receive the gift of Holy Spirit and all the other blessings that we receive simply by believing. And at the moment any person confesses the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, at that very moment, they receive it all at the beginning, at that moment. It's so radical compared to religion, isn't it? Here you go. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, towards the end of this chapter, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, what God has done for Jesus Christ, and hath put all things under his feet. God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All in all. In Colossians, it says that we are complete. All in all. We receive it all at the beginning. Right at the starting point, right from the start, not when we die and then, you know, get evaluated to see if we've done enough good. No, it's the moment we're born again. And it says all in all. Everybody gets the same. What do we all get? All of it. Every born-again believer at the moment of the new birth gets all of it. God starts us all out with everything. We have it all at the very beginning. So you want to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion? Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes, whosoever. Well, whosoever, male, female, rich, poor, educated, not educated, white, black, whosoever. You can't be any more diverse than that, can you? Whosoever. And everybody gets it all. Remember, it's all in all. Nobody gets any more, nobody gets any less. And that includes the gift ministries in the church as well. Gift ministries don't get a little more. Gift ministries are a gift to the church. Every born-again believer gets it all. How equal is that? And then each and every one of us are included. We're all part of, as God's word says, we're all part of the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ being the head. And we are not insignificant parts of the body of Christ. As 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, each one of us is very needed and necessary in the body of Christ. And you know when we're needed and necessary in the body of Christ? The moment we believe. Boom, you're in. There you go. Let's look at Romans 3. in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now, right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, by the believing of Jesus Christ, he did all the work. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, this righteousness is unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. It's not upon those who do enough good works to then be worthy enough to be accepted by God. No. Unto all them that believe, for there's no difference. You know, people could say, yeah, but the sins I've committed in the past, look at the next verse. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who's perfect? No one but the Lord Jesus Christ, the only perfect human being, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We've all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Remember what we read in Ephesians? By grace you are saved. Being justified freely by his grace through, not good works, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are now righteous or justified before God Almighty now. Now, at the moment we got born again. In Romans 8, some familiar verses, but great to look at them in light of this is what we receive the moment we're born again. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, a bondage spirit, again to fear, but you have received, it says, the spirit of adoption, or more literally, that would be a sonship spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Children of God now, heirs of God now, joint heirs with Christ right now, at the very beginning. We get it all. Back to Ephesians 1. Let's start in verse 1. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to all and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Everything that's available, all spiritual blessings. And when did we get all these spiritual blessings? The moment we believe. Here you go. Here you go. According, verse 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We are holy and without blame before him. How can that be? Me? You know, if you keep your finger here and look at Colossians 1, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you come right back. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, and you, who, me? Yes, you, you and me. And you that were sometimes or formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he, God, has reconciled us. Reconciled us. We were separated from God because we had no spirit. Now we're reconciled. And in the body of his flesh, through death, Christ paid for it. To present you, Christ, to present us before the Father, to present you and me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's who we are. Not at the end when everything's tallied up to see if we would qualify to be accepted as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. At the moment of the new birth, we're presented before God. Oh my goodness, back to Ephesians. Isn't this amazing? It's just awesome when you think about it. Ephesians, back to Ephesians 1. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure to do this. He was blessed to do it. Nobody forced him. He was just blessed to do it. God is love and his great grace. Oh my goodness. To the praise, verse 6, of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved One. We are accepted. In whom we have redemption. We're redeemed. Through, not our works, but his blood, Christ's blood. He died. We have redemption, and we also have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wow, how many times has the word grace popped up in these verses that we're reading? Grace, God's great grace. Wherein, verse 8, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We just read that in Romans. We're heirs. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. He decided all this, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. People need to hear the word of truth before they can believe it. And of course, God needs people to speak it. You know, we speak the truth to people. We share God's word with people. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And once you hear it, then there's a decision. In whom also after that you believed. Some will not believe. That's their choice. But look at this. We'll start in the beginning of the verse. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. At the moment of the new birth, at the moment we got born again, God said, here's Holy Spirit, you are sealed. And then it goes on to say that this wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that we have, which is the earnest, it's the down payment. And the down payment is a small part of the whole thing, right? You've done real estate. Really. The down payment isn't like almost all of it. It's a little fraction of what's to come. It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, that full redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Look how each and every born again believer starts out. Oh my goodness. I mentioned earlier that we are saved from the judgments to come. Let's look at three places to see that. Romans 5. And it's good for us to look at these verses, because there certainly is no lack of teaching fear of Judgment Day. I grew up with a great fear of Judgment Day. Maybe some of you did too, but look what God says. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood," meaning by his death, we got justification. That's why we're righteous. "We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Again, saved from that wrath to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, everybody there? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." And also in this same epistle in chapter 5 and verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ," not by our works. Saved from the wrath to come. The judgments, that's what the wrath is talking about. According to God's word, all born-again ones are exempt from the judgments that will come. And Jesus Christ in the Gospels talked about those judgments to come. You know, when he talked about separating the sheep from the goats, the bad fish from the good fish, the wheat and the tares. And he also, in the gospel, said that his Father had given him the authority to carry out all the judgments. And he will. But long before that happens, we will have already been gathered together to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are exempt from the judgments to come. God's word says that we will, though, be rewarded for the good that we do. And as it says in 1 Corinthians, any bad that we've done just gets burned away. And we'll be rewarded for all the good that we do. You can read verses where Paul said, "So run that you may obtain. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." At the end of the great revelation about the return of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain in the Lord." God has promised to reward us when Christ comes back. So why do so-called Christian preachers preach fear of Judgment Day? Boy, you better, judgment days. Why do they teach that? Why do they teach about doing enough good in order to work your way to heaven so that you can make it? It's ignorance of God's wonderful word concerning what God clearly shows in the scriptures. And you know, that's why a lot of people see the Bible or Christianity as nothing more than another religion with a bunch of rules and regulations, a bunch of do's and don'ts, so that you can try to be accepted with God, because they haven't heard. And we're so blessed to know some of the truths of God's word, and therefore we have a great message to bring to people, don't we? About God's great grace, his goodness. we really have a delivering message to bring to people. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to conclude. Isn't it radical compared to other religions, all that God gives us right at the beginning? It's mind-blowing when you think about it. Ephesians chapter 2, we read some of this earlier. We're going to reread it. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God's got some great things planned for the end. We win. Adversary loses. You know that verse in Romans 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And yet, preachers preach about great fear of judgment day and that you haven't done enough and you had so many sins and you might not make it. And all. Oh my goodness, we look forward to judgment day. We're going to be sitting with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being rewarded. And look at that, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, or any woman either. Are being accepted, being highly favored by God, comes at the very beginning. The moment we get born again, God gives it all to us. Acceptance, salvation, eternal life, the gift of Holy Spirit, righteousness, redemption, forgiveness, and so much more that we read about in the church epistles. All at the beginning. The hardest college to get into is Harvard. They say that 5% are accepted. 5% who apply are accepted. In Christianity, it's 100% are accepted. It's like not only being accepted into Harvard, but the moment you're accepted into Harvard, you are immediately put on the dean's list. And you are immediately a member in good standing of all organizations at Harvard and any fraternity or sorority. There. That's a pretty weak analogy, but I think maybe you get the point. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Verse 9, let's look at 9 again. Not of works, not our works, but lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's why we live our lives following God's wonderful word, not to earn God's love and acceptance, but because we already have it. Father, thank you for your wonderful grace, your kindness, your love. Thank you for making salvation and eternal life and all that you made available so easy for us that we could simply believe on your wonderful Son. Thank you for all the rights, privileges, and abilities we read about in the New Testament in the epistles that are ours, that we already have. And thank you, Father, for giving us great wisdom in those epistles on how to conduct our lives because we are loved and accepted. Thank you, Father, for that great day we all look forward to when Jesus Christ will return. And until then, Father, may we just love you and continue to trust you in every situation in our lives. May we give you the praise and the honor. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.